Somebody who might have a good idea about this is Chris Austin, who was actually at British Rail through the time it was privatised. He's also an author of the book Disconnected, Broken Links in Britain's Rail Policy. Chris, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What do you wish you'd have done differently back in 1993?
Well, it was all pretty controversial in 1993, but nothing more controversial than separating the track and the train. And I think, to the credit of railway people, they made it work. But of course, since then, there have been big changes. And the most significant change is that passenger numbers have doubled on the network. So it's now a very busy and overcrowded network indeed. It doesn't work perfectly. And the Secretary of State is quite right to look at ways of making it work better. And clearly that will involve closer cooperation between train operators and Network Rail.
Rail track didn't work though, did it? Is having a privatised system for the infrastructure with the influence of private companies the right way to go or not?
At the end of the day, the most of the funding for it is going to come either from passengers through the fares they pay or from government support. So to that extent, private capital is useful in terms of access to capital, but it all has to be remunerated by either the fare payer or the taxpayer. You're right, the privatised rail track didn't work well, wasn't a success. The Network Rail has worked a great deal better, but I'm sure this closer coordination, this alliancing, if you like, between operators and the infrastructure company is a good way of moving forward.
Is the knowledge there from the train operating companies to be skilled enough to have an influence on how the infrastructure is built, do you think? Or is there a lot of work to do from those operating companies to actually get different people in, and will they look like different companies come the end of the day?
No, I'm sure they'll be substantially the same people. It will be the way in which the contracts are organised and the incentives that are included in them. Of course, the main thing from passengers' point of view is not so much the investment in the infrastructure. That's if you like, for specialists and experts. It's actually how the trains are run. And both Network Rail and the train operators have to have an expertise in that. And there's a certain amount of overlap and duplication, but there's a willingness, I'm sure, between them to pool their resources and make it work better.
And what would be the big difference for a passenger? We hear lots of people have problems on the commutes on various networks around the country, prices going up each year. Will there be benefits on either of those levels?
Oh, yes. I mean, the main benefit would be in terms of improved reliability and resilience. That's what most passengers want. Above all, they want a seat, they want a reliable train service, and you know, that's what the industry is focusing on delivering. That's the really important thing for passengers.
Chris, thank you very much. Chris Austin, who was at British Rail through the time of privatisation.